Well, let's turn over just for a moment to James chapter 2. I don't want to stay there too long, but we're just going to just read this. James chapter 2 and look at verse 14, starting in 14. James chapter 2. I'm going to read from... actually, I think I'll read from the New Century Version. James chapter 2 and verse 14 says, "My brothers and sisters, if people say they have faith but do nothing, their faith is worth nothing. Can faith like that save them? A brother or sister in Christ might need clothes or food. If you say to that person, 'God be with you, I hope you stay warm and get plenty to eat,' but you do not give what that person needs, your words are worth nothing. In the same way, faith that is alone, that does nothing, is dead. Someone might say, 'You have faith, but I have deeds. Show me your faith without doing anything, and I will show you my faith by what I do.' You believe there is one God, good, but the demons believe that too, and they tremble with fear. You foolish person, must you be shown that faith that does nothing is worth nothing? Abraham, our ancestor, was made right with God by what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar. So you see that Abraham's faith and the things he did worked together. His faith was made perfect by what he did. This shows the full meaning of the scripture that says, 'Abraham believed God, and God accepted Abraham's faith, and that faith made him right with God.' And Abraham was called God's friend." So you see that people are made right with God by what they do, not by faith only. Another example is Rahab, a prostitute who was made right with God by something she did. She welcomed the spies into her home and helped them escape by a different road. Just as a person's body that does not have a spirit is dead, so faith that does nothing is dead." Hallelujah. So let's say that. Faith that does nothing is worth nothing. Real faith does something. Real faith acts on what it believes. So when you believe, what are you supposed to do? Act. Amen. Glory to God. It's like going to the gym. You believe you're supposed to lose some weight. But if you don't act, ain't happening. You believe you should eat less, but I just got to have that extra. Or as Pastor Hagen says, extry. I don't know where you get extry from. He just calls it extry. Put in your extry. That's how he says it. But if you want that extry, yeah, it's not going to help you out losing weight, right? You got to do something. If you know something, you see it, you got to do something, right? Faith that does nothing keeps the weight on. Or whatever it is, right? Faith that doesn't walk in love is dead love. It doesn't produce anything, right? The same thing. We could talk natural or spiritual. So one thing I wanted to highlight here and take a little different avenue this evening is that, and I know some of this you know, it's good to refresh on, is that in Revelation 12:11, it says, "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death." So they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And some things that we know is that we're made in the image and likeness of God. We were born again, what? Not of corruptible seed, but of the incorruptible seed of the word of God. So the seed of the word will produce what? It produced a new creation in us. So when the seed of the word is planted, it will produce. That's what the scripture says. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Some other scriptures, it says, you know, forever, O Lord, thy word is what? Settled. It's settled in heaven. It's settled. That's it. So we can believe it. And so it's the words is something that E.W. Kenyon shared. He said, the words of your lips are the words that abide in you and dominate you. So the words that you begin to meditate on, that you, think about, those words that get on your lips are the words that can be in you and what? Dominate you. So we want to make sure that the words that we speak are things that we believe. And I know we can get, I know years ago we would get so how do I want to pick you? We'd say, is that what you want? You'd say something, he says, is that really what you want? Is that what you want? Then say what you want. You know, speak what you want. Because you're going to have what you say. You will have what you say. You know, so often, we see the blindness, because the world is not, well, I'd say those under the control of Satan are what? Blinded. And so those that are blinded don't see like we see. We have not been, we're not under, not only are we not under his control, but we have insight by God's Spirit into God's word. And so he's shown us some things how we can walk out from under. We're already out from under his control, but we can do what? We have to walk, what? By faith and not by sight. So even though we're in this earth and we see things, we're not to operate by what we see. We're to operate in faith. And so this is what our life is to be. It's to be a walk of faith. So some of the things that, if we turn over to Hebrews 11:1 for a moment, I'll read this from two different translations here. Hebrews 11:1 in the King James, it says, now faith is the substance, and my margin says the ground, or it's the confidence of things hoped for. So I always like to say hope rests on this confidence. It's this foundation. So hope can rest on something. What? Your confidence. So your expectation, which is another word for hope, you can expect because you're confident that it's going to come to pass. So your expectation is resting upon, it's supported by your confidence. How can you expect if you're not confident? You can't. So faith is the substance, the ground, the confidence on which your expectation things hoped for, your expectation exists. The evidence of things not seen. The Moffat's translation says, now faith means that we are confident of what we hope for, convinced of what we do not see. So we are confident of things that we hope for, convinced of what we do not see. So one of the things that is you can see here is that faith is something that is governed by something. which means what? It's controlled, it's influenced by, because you can have faith in something negative, or you can have faith in something positive. Or you could say it this way, that you could say, I have an affirmation for something. Or I affirm something. So if I affirm something or I believe something, I can believe in something negative or positive. And so your faith or your belief is governed by some things, what? That you say. Did you ever think about that? Mark 11:23. What you say can determine some things. Brother Hagin used to say it this way. He said, you can school yourself into faith. You ever hear him say that? Anybody ever hear him say that? He'd say, if you don't believe something in your heart, he'd say, say it or confess it, and you can school yourself into faith. Meaning, the more you say it, your heart will believe it. Well, the world says that. Person kept saying that till they believed it. It was a lie, but they believed it. So they said it so much, they believed it. Anybody ever hear that? So faith can be governed and is governed by your confession. What do I mean by that? It's governed, it's influenced. Faith is influenced by what you say. Now, if you confess God's word enough, faith comes, which is exactly what the scripture says. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If I speak the word of God continually, my spirit hears it, faith comes. So my faith is governed by confession, by speaking. It's something that you think about. And faith, of course, we know this, faith grows from confessing the word of God. Unbelief grows from a negative confession. So your unbelief can grow from speaking negative things. I'm thinking these are some stories that Charles Capps spoke. He said, I like the outdoors. I like to go fishing and I like to go hunting. And he shared these two stories. The first one, he said, I used to like to go into the woods and hunt. I like to hunt deer. And he said, inevitably, I would get poison ivy. And he said, I'd get covered in it, especially in my arms, because you're around trees and you have all of these things. You got to get up in trees and if you're hunting and all of this stuff. So he said, inevitably, I'd get a bad case of poison ivy. So he said, I'd get the calamine lotion, put it all over my arms. But he said, I began to speak what the word of God said. That I'm already healed, not going to be healed. I am healed from poison ivy. And he'd confess and say that the word of God is working in me and it's driving out of my body this rash out of my body. And he said it took about a year. But he said every time he'd go in the woods, he'd put that calamine lotion on after he'd come out. He'd get a bad case of this. He said, after about a year of confessing the word of God, he said he could take poison ivy on a tree, just strip it down like this with his hands, nothing. No rash. Why? Because he got the word of God put in his body that drove out, it repelled the sickness. That's what I'm talking about. That when we get the word, So what happens a lot of times is we say it once, and we say, well, I don't know, I guess it's not working. No. The word of God is forever settled in heaven. So whether it's poison ivy, whether it's a rash, whether it's a kidney disease, whether it's a cancer, whatever it is, you continually affirm the Word of God in you, that it's working. And it's working. I remember last year, Mrs. Hagen was sharing a story during prayer time. She was just led to share it. I'd never heard her share this before. And she said she fell on her tailbone, and she said the pain was so excruciating that she said it was, she said, I just can't even explain how excruciating the pain was. And she said, I had to go to the doctor and all of that stuff. And the doctors basically told her, well, look, take this pain medication. I don't remember if they gave her morphine, whatever the pain medication was, they gave her quadruple the dose that you would normally take. She said it did nothing. It absolutely did nothing to help the pain. And she said, finally, the doctor said, well, I'm sorry, you're just going to have to deal with it. You're going to have to live with it. So Pastor Hagen said to her, say this. Say, the power of God is working in my body, affecting a healing and a cure in Jesus' name. And she said, if I said that once a day, I said it 1,000 times a day. Just kept saying it and 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 saying it. She said, after about 3 months, the pain started to subside. And she said, after about 4 or 5 months, gone. See, so doctors will say what they say, but the way we're going to get results is to continually speak the Word of God, whether it's for your health, whether it's for your family, whether it's for children, whether it's for finances. You are going to have to continually affirm, constantly affirm the Word of God. What does the scripture say? Be not weary in well-doing, for you shall reap if you faint not. And sometimes we faint in our words. I remember last year when we were at Winter Bible Seminar, one of the directors, I'm trying to have him come down here and do an all-French meeting, some French seminars here. His name's Ken Turner. And he's a director up in Quebec and also down in Haiti. So he's down there a good amount of time. And so he said he was down there with one of the other directors, and he ate some fish, and he said, boy, it was not good. And he said, he went to the doctor, and he said, the doctor said to him in French, so long, you know, goodbye, you know, like, it's over for you. There's nothing they could do. And he said he got his Bible out and started confessing the Word, doubling and tripling up with healing scriptures, and he said, boom, gone. See, so we're going to face tests and trials. We're going to face things in doing the work of the Lord. We are. Count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. But the key is that you consistently say it and say it and say it. There may be something going on in your body now. Don't give up. Because what the affirmation that we consistently make is either going to give glory to God or to the devil in the situation. So we've got to make up our minds that I'm having what God says I can have. And I like what Pastor Hagen says. I will not be defeated, and I will not quit. So you just make a determination. Yeah, I'm walking through this, but I'm going to have what God says. I'm going to have it. And as far as you're concerned, not going to have it. You already have it. And you, faith does what? Believing takes it. Believing takes what God promises. We're not waiting to take. We take by faith. And I begin to say and praise God for what I've received. It doesn't look like it. That's what it just said. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith is the evidence of something not seen. I don't see the finances yet. I don't see the healing yet. But I'm going to take it by what? Faith, because God promised it. And it's mine. And I continually affirm it. I remember Charles Capps told this story. He said he liked to fish. So he was out in the boat with a bunch of guys. They were a freshwater, I guess it was a, I don't know what size boat. But anyways, a group of them were on one side. This was freshwater, not ocean fishing. So some were on one side of the boat fishing. He was on the other side by himself. He said, I'm calling the fish to me. I'm calling them to my line, my line. And he said, I'm getting all the fish, and they're getting nothing. They're catching nothing, and they're getting upset. And they said, hey, man, you're getting all the fish. Can we switch to your side? And he said, sure. So they switched. What do you think? They all came to his side, and he's catching the fish. See, they still got nothing. Why? Because they were saying nothing. See, so I'm sure that was a teachable moment for all of them. But if you say nothing, you get nothing. Or faith that does nothing, or faith that confesses nothing, is going to get nothing. Faith is what? An action. So this faith that we have is built by words. And so we're going to have to speak some things. Your confession, we could say it another way, your confession is your faith speaking. It's another way of saying it. So if you have faith, then you're going to, if you believe, you're going to say what you believe. Let me ask a question. Simple example. How many in here are a Christian? How many are born again? How many are saved, or say it another way, how many have said that to somebody? How many have said, I'm a Christian, I'm born again, I'm filled with the Holy Ghost? Why did you say that? Because you believed it. So if you had a problem saying it, then one would question, why? Because if you believe it, then you say it. You confess, you affirm, I am what I believe. I say what I believe, right? Isn't that true? So we're to confess or profess the things that we believe. Another scripture, 1 Peter 3:10, it says, for he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. So we're going to have to refrain from some things, refrain from speaking words that God considers evil, like he considered the Israelites. The 12 spies that went in to the land, 10 came back with what? An evil report. Why was it evil? Because it contradicted what God said. So one thing, let's turn over to another scripture here we're familiar with, 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 13. It says, we having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and what? Therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. So if you believe, you speak. Let's cover some other scriptures here that I think are helpful. Proverbs 18:21. It says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it, love what? Death or life, shall eat the fruit thereof. The Message translation says, words kill, words give life, they're either poison or fruit, you choose. The Good News translation, what you say can preserve life or destroy it. So you must accept the consequences of your words. So when we look at some things, think about some of the stories that Brother Hagin told while he was alive. One of the stories where he said Jesus appeared to him, and as he was talking to him, this imp jumped in between them, put up that little smoke screen. And he's getting upset. Why isn't Jesus doing something? Why isn't he telling him to get out of the way? And finally, out of frustration and getting upset, Brother Hagin commanded that imp to leave in Jesus' name. And he said, well, Jesus, he said, I was waiting for you to do something. And he said, I know you. He told him he couldn't, not that he wouldn't. He said, I can't. And he said, no, you need to explain that. And or not explain it, but he said, I heard you, but that can't be right. So Jesus has put his power, his name, his authority in the church here to do what? To speak or to establish his covenant here in the earth. And how do we do that? We're going to do that through the words that we speak. I'm thinking about just here, the place that we sit in right now, the words that were spoken over this building caused this building to come into fruition. And so they had to believe. I know Pastor Clinton at the time, I was there at the time. He was running around down in Little Ferry and Hackensack trying to find a place. And Pastor Sarah was up here speaking to this building. And finally, when it all fell through, all the other things fell through, he finally came up here and saw it, and he got an agreement with Pastor Sarah. And they, after they knew that this was the place for them, they had to do something. They had to begin to pursue it and to go after it. And of course, all the roadblocks and things that happened along the way. I believe that's the same now. God is forecasting and showing us some things about this ministry and where it's eventually going to go. That's going to take a profession of faith. You may not understand it. Sometimes I don't understand it. But it's not our place to understand. God is asking us to, when he speaks, to embrace what he says and to speak it and to confess it and say, thank you, Lord. That's our place. And as we do, see, one of the things I'm beginning to find and I'm beginning to understand clearer about confession is that confession, your spirit, and Charles Capps used to teach on this a little bit, because he taught a lot on confessing the Word of God and confession. But your spirit will respond to your confession, to your words. And your spirit man will lead you. God leads us through our spirit, but our spirit, the real me, will lead me. Anybody ever have a thought that comes and says, go over here? It wasn't, thus saith the Lord, was it? It wasn't a booming voice, was it? That was your spirit speaking to you. That was your spirit in you, the still small voice of your spirit speaking. And so Charles Capps used to share this. He used to say, you know what? The more he saw this in operation, he saw people who would confess positive things, meaning God's going to open up a great job for me. I don't know where, but he's got a great job for me. He's going to open up the best job, best paying job. He's going to just open it up for me. And they confessed it and confessed it and confessed it and confessed it and said it. And then a thought comes. Open the paper up. Why do I want to open the paper up? Okay, I'll open the paper up. Look right there. Oh, okay. Well, call that number. You don't know why you're calling that number. And God is leading you through your spirit. Pick this phone up. Call over here. So you call, but your spirit man, you've been putting something in your spirit that will lead you to what you've been confessing. And he saw through instances where people would confessing like that, doors would open to them. Doors would just open to them. They didn't understand why. But then there were others that said, well, I don't know. I just don't know. You know, every time I get something good, it just falls apart. You know, they're just negative, 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 negative. Doubt. Fear. And he said, more often than not, he'd see this person just say, you know what, I'm going to go over here and get this, try get this job, but you know, they probably won't hire me, I don't know. And so he would take the job and he'd be there and then they'd either close up or something negative would happen. It was the wrong place. But his spirit led him there because of the words he put down in his heart. Remember, your faith is built upon the words that you speak. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, you know, that can work in the negative too. So what I'm finding more often that I'm experiencing, I don't know about you, but the more I speak, see, natural things parallel spiritual things in some ways, in growth things. But what I'm finding is that when I don't understand something and I'm trying to, I can't figure it out, but it's something I want. So I set a goal and I don't know how I'm going to get there, but I'm going to have that. And I begin to confess it, that I'm going to have that. I take it by faith. God will supernaturally guide you in those steps to do things, and you will ultimately get to that destination. It may take some time. It may take some circumstances to get there. But you're going to reach that destination if you will continue to maintain that confession. I don't know about you, but that excites me because that means we can have the best that this earth has to offer. The earth's is not Satan's. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and I serve him. So I can have the bounty of this earth. I'm not seeking it, but we can have it, we can enjoy it if we maintain and decree a positive confession. The same thing goes with our health. I refuse to say I'm weak and I'm tired. I'm just saying, you know what, I need to go down and rest. I need to go home and just rest. It's time to rest. But the more I say I'm tired, man, buddy, you are going to be tired. You're going to be tired. You're going to add to some things. I refuse to say it. I just refuse to. And so I'm finding that if we just watch what we say, sure, I've walked through some periods that you're physically, you're stretched. But I refuse to, and God will lead you. He'll say, look, don't go on that trip or don't do that because you need rest. It could put you in a harmful situation. We just have to listen. That's all. We just have to listen. Don't invest in this. Buy this. You know, I've shared a couple of times, that I remember one time I was sitting in my office and I heard in my spirit, go over to Men's Warehouse. And I'm like, I don't want any more clothes. I really don't. I don't want any more suits. I'm tired of suits. I don't want any more suit coats, sport jackets. I've had enough of them. And I said, they're nice. I have them. So I just said, okay, I'll play along. I'll go. Okay. And I kept hearing this. So I went over and I said, okay, walk in the door. So, the guy over there knows me. So he said, okay, hey, Rev, how you doing? Blah, blah, blah. I said, hey, we got a great sale on. I said, okay, I'll play along. So the guy says, hey, we got two sport coats. You get two for $100 each. And I thought, okay, let me see him. I wasn't really thrilled about it. So the guy pulls them off, and I look at the sticker, and I said, hey, hey, hey. Thank you, Jesus. It was a cashmere coat, sport coat, $800 for $100. And I said, yes, sir, you got another one. It was a I think it was a heart scarf. I don't know what it is. Yeah, that's it. Right. Can't say that three times fast. But, all I'm saying is that God, I'm not seeking it, I'm not looking for it, but God will lead you to good deals. He'll lead you to the best. He'll lead you out of sickness into health. He'll lead you out of poverty and lack into abundance. If we will do what? Speak the word of God. Faith is a force. Faith, what is Hebrews 11:3 says? By faith we understand that the worlds were framed, what? That the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. So if we want some things, so often, and I'm not saying people should not move and live where they're being led to go, but I heard so many people say here through the years, I can't afford to live up here, so I'm moving down south. And I said to myself, well, it's okay to move down south, but why you got to go? Because you're limited. That's not a good testimony. Go because you really want to go, not because you have to go. Didn't that make sense? To me, it does. Because you could move your hips down there and be in the same boat. And then what you going to do now? As they say, what you going to do now? You're going to have to go back and say, Lord, I need help. Right? It's the same thing. So I'm not opposed to people moving, but just move for the right reasons. Brother Hagin used to say this. He said, look, you want to go home to heaven? Go right ahead. But get healed first and then decide to go home. But don't go home to heaven just because you're sick and you got to go. Right? It's the same thing. Get healed first. Work the word. Get that sickness out of your body. And now if you want to go home, just that's fine. When you're satisfied, go home. Amen. Isn't that so? Amen. What it says in Proverbs 21:23, whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, I shared this Sunday. This was something personal that happened to me a number of years ago. It was probably, let's see, 86. So it would have been probably 30 years ago. So it was a while ago. And I was in an automobile accident, and it was my fault. And so, you know, when I went to the insurance company, they said, you do know that this county is known for suing everybody. I had no idea. They said, you know, be prepared. You're going to be sued. And I said, okay, well, we'll see. So next thing I know, I'm getting served with papers, and they were suing me for $300,000. Some big chunk of money, 300, 350, something like that. When it gets that high, what's the difference? It's just a whole lot of money, right? And so, you know, my first reaction was, oh, Jesus, you know. So I thought, you know, initially I thought, boy, that I'm cooked. You know, I had just really hadn't been working in the ministry that long, and I thought, okay, this is a problem. And so, you know, your mind starts to play tricks and games, and you know, you're finished, you'll never own anything, da 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 da, all of these things. And so I remember I was sitting in my office, quiet, was working on a project, and right down here, it came right up out of here into my thinking. It just rose right up. Malachi 3:10 and 11. I heard it. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing you can hardly contain. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. Boy, I got up and just, I started doing a little dance, because I said, thank you. You said, you're going to rebuke this joker. Even though I was at fault, you're going to rebuke him. I'm a tither. I'm a tither. I grabbed onto that, like Brother Hagin said, like a bulldog. I went, got it. Because faith, when you hear, when you get revelation, when it comes, you're like, I got it. I got the answer. Because now, you know, when you don't have an answer, you're sitting there going, huh, what am I going to do? I'm sunk. I'm cooked. In the natural, that's what your mind is saying. And revelation comes and you go, yes, I'm free. That's how I felt. But I still had to walk through the process now. And there were some dark clouds. Oh, some dark clouds. You got to go through depositions. Because of the amount of money, it had to go to the Supreme Court. And I'm thinking, Supreme Court? Are you kidding me? This is, as they say, serious. I'm not trying to make light of it, but it was a big deal. And so there's a period now from the time that revelation came till the time the whole thing walked through. It was over 6-8 months. Depositions, back and forth, this and that. And so finally it got down to where I get a letter and it said, okay, you know, the trial in the Supreme Court will be this date. Your presence is not needed. If we need you, we will call you. So Monday goes by, Tuesday goes by, Wednesday, and I'm thinking, that's strange. Wow, no, I haven't heard anything. Thursday goes by, Friday goes by. I'm thinking, okay. And meanwhile, every day I'm speaking, not just a little bit, every day, every day. And when the negative thoughts, I said, no, no, I'm a tither. And God, you said you'd rebuke this devourer in the name of Jesus. You're rebuked. And I meant it. And so I get a letter in the mail saying, thank you very much. This case has been settled within your insurance policy. Let me tell you what the insurance policy was. It was for $5,100, which is unheard of. $50,000 on an insurance policy was not pittance. And the lady even told me, she said, you're in trouble. Now, it was legal. It wasn't that it was illegal. But at that time, 30 years ago, that was the minimum. And I put the minimum on it. But there ain't no minimum with God. God's the deliverer. And so that's all I'm saying is that we can be confronted. Even if you misstepped, even if you made a mistake, God will deliver. He will show you and walk you through it. If you just go to Him, first you got to go to Him, ask Him for help, and when He shows you, stick to it. Stick to it. And don't give up. I don't care how dark the clouds get. I don't care how negative the prognosis is. You stick with God. I'm telling you the truth. So it was, I'm telling you, I shouted and shouted. I said, so all I'm saying is the power of the words that you speak and the significance of the words that you speak can put you over or put you under. I'm telling you. This is something, I'm going to share a couple of bullets here that E.W. Kenyon shared. He said, I like the way he puts this. Claiming the promises is not faith. Now just hold on, don't check out on me here now. Because I had to read it a couple of times. Claiming the promises is not faith. Faith already has it. Claiming proves that one does not have it yet. It is unbelief attempting to act like faith. As long as one is trying to get it, faith has not yet acted. Faith says, thank you, Father. Faith has it. Faith stops praying and begins to praise. He says, unbelief quotes the word, but does not act upon it. So unbelief will quote the word, but does not act on it. So we need to, when revelation comes, when light comes, the first response ought to be, I've got it. I've got the answer, and I'm going to say it, and say it, and say it, and say it, and let God lead you. See, once you put yourself in that place of confessing the Word of God and confessing what He tells you to confess, He will then lead and guide you into or to the place that you want to go. See? What does that mean? You can't steer a parked car. You've got to be able to be willing to be led and guided. Don't try to figure out how you're going to get to that destination. Stop trying to figure it out. Let Him lead you. You just make the profession of faith and let Him lead you. So many of us try to figure out, yeah, I got it. That's how we do it. Just be submitted to His direction. That's what we want. Amen? I hope you get a little bit out of these things, because sometimes, here's the thing, we're all going to walk through tests, and we're all going to walk through some things. The key becomes, let's listen to Him, let's get some directions from God. You know, sometimes we need somebody to just affirm to us, help us as we walk along, not to, sympathize with us. We don't want sympathy. We want somebody to encourage us in the Lord. So you can do this. You're going to make it. It's all right. Say this with me. Come on, I'll say it with you. Let's say this together. We're going to make it. We're going to get over. God's going to open doors of blessing for us. That's what's going to put us over in every area of life. Every area. And sometimes, I know you've been there, I've been there, it looks like nothing's going to change. And suddenly, things start shifting, things start changing. It looks like nothing can change and won't change. But I can tell you, if we just stick with His Word, stick with speaking His Word, things will change. They have to change. He said, "My word won't return unto me void, but it will accomplish what I sent it to do." Amen.